On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Esteban Doria of the Houston Astros organization. Esteban, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
I appreciate having me, Chris. Just a little bit about myself. I've been working in baseball for a little over 6 years now. I started my career as an intern at Florida State. I was an undergrad there on an academic scholarship. Got into the strength conditioning internship with the football team right when Jimbo Fisher took over for Bobby Bowden. I was able to see Vic Valoria and some of his assistant coaches build the strength program from the ground up. It was an awesome opportunity, and it was really eye-popping. The reason why I got into strength conditioning was because, you know, I was a multi-sport athlete in high school. We had a really good culture, loved our coach. I loved to lift. Our team loved to lift. We were pretty good in a lot of different sports, but we would always, like, come up short. Particularly in football, we played against a team called the Bohokie. Back in, you know, when we were in high school, those guys were top-notch. I remember my senior year, they had, like, 18 guys signed D1 scholarships. It was absurd. And a message that our coach always try to portray to us is, you know, we have the best training program in the state, and we were bought into that. But then when we'd always lose to this team in the semifinals, it would be like, well, if we kept losing, why are we really that bad? So that kind of sparked, like, my interest into majoring in exercise science. And then when I got to FSU and started my internship, it was a mind-blowing experience. I was like, whoa, like, this is what real strength conditioning is. Just a lot of different facets that we never really hit. So from then I was sold. Like, I was like, this is what I want to do. Started focusing on my academics to make sure I could get a graduate assistant position. That didn't really pan out coming out of college. So I went to Baton Rouge, to intern for a man named Matt Bruce, multiple time, Olympic alternate, like 7-time, like U.S. champion. For like the 77 kilo class, dude's a freaking hoss. Like snatches like 300 pounds, like it's nothing, you know. And he really taught me about, you know, periodization and optimal ways for performance, mobility, and then from there he has a lot of connections in the SEC tree. Just from his time as a lifter, he was able to get me in the door at LSU. So I decided to open up my master's program at LSU, kind of paid my own way through my master's degree, got in the door with Tommy Moffitt. And, you know, the rest is kind of like, you know, it was a big introduction into my philosophies as a strength coach. Just the culture aspect of everything, you know, like in the SEC, especially in SEC baseball, everyone signs great players out of high school. You know, like when you got facilities like that, you're going to get studs. But one of the big things that separates schools like the TCUs, the Oregon States, the LSUs, the Florida States is kind of, you know, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And that was pretty much the big thing that I learned from my time at LSU. And, you know, it's about the toughness, you know, of the player. It's about the discipline on a daily basis. It's about the effort on a minute by minute basis. It's about the heart of the player. It's about, you know, having pride in what you do. And those are kind of things that I saw Jimbo Fisher instill when he took over the football program at Florida State as well. But it got just re-ingrained when I went to LSU. It's kind of a big piece of what I really believe in. And then from there, while I was there, I met Rachel Balkovec. She was the minor league coordinator at the time for the Cardinals. at the time I was kind of applying jobs because my degree program was coming to an end. And she's like, you should look into baseball. I'm bilingual. So she thought I was a strong candidate, landed a job, worked at GCL down here in Jupiter, Florida for a season. And then the Cardinals kind of went through a transition period where they went a different direction with their department. I started applying for jobs, landed an interview at the University of Maryland. But thanks to the help of Paul Maneri and Tom Moffitt, got the job. Then I'm at Maryland. It's pretty interesting time. First time in kind of like metropolitan area, so to speak. It's 30 minutes away from D.C., an hour away from Baltimore. It's really got a lot of traffic over there. First time in a big, like, urban, suburban kind of zone. But Maryland was really, like, my first shot at designing my own programs. So that was a great learning experience, especially our first season. We had a lot of ups and downs. And it was good. It was good to go through that because I took a lot of lessons away from it. Things like, you know, how you have to get a feel for each individual athlete. Like, not everyone's going to respond the same way to a certain type of coaching. Things like guys are going to have their own individual needs. You can't. There's no one blanket way to do things. And then also just administrative work, like dealing with recruiting, dealing with paperwork, dealing with organizing. Things that definitely help out at the affiliate level, like you have to organize where you're going to go work out. You have to organize the expenses for that, stuff like that. So Maryland was great. Loved the coaching staff there. But I wanted to have an opportunity to get back into pro ball. I thought I could make a huge impact, particularly with the Latin population. And things just kind of fell into place. Rachel was in a position with the Astros at the time. They had an opening. I interviewed. I got the job. And I thought it was something I just couldn't turn down, especially with where the Astros are at. And the way they just utilize the resources and are willing to invest into strength conditioning. It was a no-brainer for me. That, and I got to be closer at home. Got to be closer to my girlfriend. It was everything just kind of lined up. And now I'm here. So that's pretty much that's the journey,
man. Yeah, no doubt. That's an awesome journey to hear. It's very. I feel like it's kind of standard though for this field. Like, you play high school sports or maybe even in college, and then you're like, well, I can't really play anymore, but I still want to help out athletes. And then, you know, you got to pay your dues with internships and then make your connections. And then those connections help you into the positions that you actually want. So that's a cool journey, man.
Right. Yeah. I've been very fortunate.
So you're in kind of a dual role there with the Astros. You're doing DSL. Occasionally you're going down to the Dominican. And then while you're in Florida, you're doing your rehab. So I want to talk about the rehab process. And kind of your role in the big picture of the rehab, and then kind of get into like developing plans and kind of what you're seeing that's so rewarding for that position, because it sounds like you enjoy the spot that you're in.
Yeah, it's good. As far as what we do is, obviously, you know, a guy unfortunately gets hurt. He comes to us. Some guys are long term, some guys are medium term, some guys are short term. And I gotta collaborate with the medical coordinator as well as the rehab coordinator to see what we can and can't do. You know, we have a discussion with the athlete and see where his head's at, because that's one of the biggest things with rehab. You know, this is essentially the guy's career. You know, so you gotta definitely take a moment to hear his perspective on things and to see what his goals are. And then just continually try to motivate him to, you know, progress and fight through the adversity that he's going through. So yeah, depending on the guy and depending on the injury, we might take different approaches. Obviously, for me, number one priority is attack his movement deficiencies. That could play a big part into why he got hurt in the first place. So, you know, if you have a guy with terrible thoracic spine mobility, that's pretty important. or terrible, you know, separation, lower upper halves, like attack that as well. And then just start from the ground up, especially if he's a long-term project or like a Tommy John or shoulder or something like that. Like, you know, just start from scratch and let's build you up from there. Other guys, you know, we have to be very careful and you got to work hand in hand with the rehab medical staff to make sure you're taking notice of contraindications. And you're trying to get guys to get to a point where obviously they're healthy, you know, get them healthy is the number one goal. And then for me is to get them at peak physical condition, whether that's cardiovascularly or strength wise, power wise, et cetera. And, you know, just help these guys fight through a tough time in their career, and just be there as a support. But also, you know, have them understand that, you know, we're going to get after it and you're going to come out of this a better, stronger athlete.
Two big parts there, and I think they kind of apply regardless of who it is collaborating with the medical staff and collaborating with the player, right? I think sometimes that kind of slips through the cracks that it is their career, and it does kind of matter what they say and especially how they feel. I mean, I don't do a ton of rehab stuff here. It's kind of just the day-to-day stuff, but I would imagine a long-term rehab like that is probably pretty hard to get guys through sometimes when they may not see that long-term light at the end of the tunnel when they're 2 weeks post-op and, you know, they're feeling terrible and they are not happy. So how do you go through that with a player? How do you kind of help get them through that mentally?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different approaches that you can take. Number one is you got to have a great support system. So, you know, getting to know the athlete, getting to know what matters to him outside of baseball. Like some of these guys have families, some of these guys have kids, some of these guys just got engaged. You know, just having that, I don't want to call it ammunition, but having that ability to point back to something that is going to motivate them, I think is very important. Also just, you know, knowing as a coach and having the feel to know when you got to back off of a guy. You know, some of these guys respond differently to training. Some of these guys respond differently psychologically. You know, being able to tell them, hey, you know, we have mental skills guys that can help you through a tough time. And letting them know that their goals are our goals. You know, we want to see them get healthy. And then providing examples for them, you know, showing them, hey, this guy had Tommy John last year. He progressed really well. You know, it's something that's thoroughly possible. This is not the end all be all. You're not going to get cut, you know, staying very positive with the guys and just letting them know that this is just a roadblock in your journey. And it's going to be a big piece of your story when it's all said and done.
You see all those guys all the time, guys rehabbing and coming back and being better than what they were. And I'm sure that's very rewarding. So do you have like one story that was more rewarding to you where a guy like got through it and you were struggling with him and he came out better on the other end and you're just sitting there like, yes, this is why I'm doing this.
Absolutely. His name is Edgardo Sandoval. He's pitching in Quad Cities right now. And Edgardo, you know, he's from Panama. He's a guy that got all the way up to high A at one point in his career before he got hurt. And he was out of shape, like straight up. Like he knew it. Everyone else knew it. And it was a daily and weekly battle trying to get him to do what we needed him to do. And there was times where we would, you know, be up each other's throats, so to speak, to make sure he was getting his stuff done. But, you know, we built a really good relationship and he made a lot of progress. And now he's healthy and he's dicing it up, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that makes me happy. And I think the best part is like, there's a point in time where he's doing his rehab assignment in the GCL and he came up to me because at that point, like he's passed my duties, my responsibilities with him. He came up to me and he's like, hey man, like, thank you. Like, I feel like because you kind of put me through the ringer with you, like all this stuff is like a lot easier for me now. Surge's like, yeah, man, like, I feel great during conditioning. I feel great during lifting. I feel really fresh all the time. I don't like, and I'm pain free. That's the kind of stuff that's really rewarding. It's like, I'm glad that you got the opportunity to get to where you're at. And I just appreciate that they put in the work and they kind of fought it out. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's cool that it's like a lower level guy and not like a big leaguer, right? Like, it could be very easy to be like, yeah, I helped this guy and he's back in the big leagues with our big club. But like a guy in the lower levels, because some of these guys, they might not ever make it and they might peak in high A or double A or whatever. But if you can help them fulfill whatever it is, their potential at whatever level, that's rewarding. So that's cool that it was a guy in a lower level for you guys that that probably challenged you as well, and you challenged him. So,
no doubt.
So, what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
I saw this when you sent this that you're going to ask this. Like, oh boy, this is a trick question right here. I better walk on thin ice. I think there's a lot of things. I think obviously number one for me. Especially with the younger guys in a developmental system, particularly in baseball, I think that we should be looking at power development above anything else. A lot of people want to take a long-term approach, but particularly with a lot of these Latin guys, is the truth is that they don't have a long-term deal. You know, a lot of these guys are month by month in their evaluation. A lot of these guys are year by year in, but their evaluation, like for me, it's like, for example, like, okay, this guy's throwing 88 to 91. Like, I need to do my best to get this guy to 91, 94 to buy him a couple more years so he can have the opportunity to learn from different coaches and grow in his command of the secondary pitches. So then he might have a chance at high A or double A. You know, I think sometimes we want to say long term, and we want to build the fundamentals, and we want to create the foundation, and that's great, and that's extremely important. But you also have to consider the ability of that age group from 16 to 20 years old, where their muscle fibers are primed for fast twitch adaptation and hormonal response. So, you know, you're going to be able to generate a lot higher, you know, innervation thresholds of type 2A, type 2B, type 2X kind of twitches than as compared to when a guy's 23, 26 years old. So for me, it's like create the fast twitch first. Then if he's bought himself the time by developing that fast twitch, then work on the movement patterns and the strength base and stuff like that. Like you said, a lot of people probably think I'm crazy for that, but I've just seen so many situations where, you know, a guy's just not throwing hard enough, and baseball is going in that direction where, I mean, I saw a stat a couple months ago during the Major League All-Star game, like, oh, the average fastball in the All-Star game, like 96, 97 miles an hour. Like, that's the direction baseball is going into. So if the best of the best are throwing 97 and you're only throwing 90, probably not going to get to the majors, you know? So, like, get them the power first. Another thing that I'm really big on is aerobic conditioning. I hope people don't misconstrue that. Like, okay, you got to go and pedal on a bike for 40 minutes or you got to go run a 5K. Like, we're talking, like, max aerobic speed type of stuff. Passive intervals, intensive intervals. Obviously, you know, you want to program with an appropriate volume that's not going to over fatigue the guys, but for durability, for, you know, CP resynthesis, for just overall consistent repeated energy output, like, I think an aerobic base is extremely important, especially for pitchers. Like, it's one thing to throw your top velocity for an inning or two. It's another thing for a starter to be able to do that for 7-8 innings, you know? So you got to run. You got to run a lot. You got to run in a lot of different modalities. You got to attack the oxidative system as well as the CP system and everything in between. I know, and you got to be stringent about it. Like, I think that we as strength coaches have to take the responsibility to make sure that our players are doing things with a lot of quality. And I think conditioning is one of those big pieces that's important for development as well. So yeah, people probably think I'm crazy about that, but I'm a believer in it. I know if you ask Mike Schworn, he's going to tell you I'm a psychopath because I made him run too much. But I mean, he was healthy and, you know, he was throwing hard and, you know, I feel like especially with pitchers, I've had a lot of success with that. So I'm crazy for it, but I believe in it.
It's kind of something that other strength coaches don't necessarily have to deal with is like these guys' careers could be over tomorrow. Like they could be over before they start. So I've never really thought about it that way, but it makes sense to me that we need to get them as prepared as possible, as fast as possible. And then the second one, I mean, everybody's got their own thoughts on conditioning, so maybe everybody's crazy, nobody's crazy, I don't know. I don't know. But if you believe in it, I don't know how crazy it is, I guess. But what do you believe in that makes a strength and conditioning coach successful, maybe in general and then maybe baseball specifically? You've seen a lot of stuff, you've been a lot of places, you've been with a lot of successful coaches. What do you believe makes a strength coach successful?
I think the most rewarding for me, at least, is when you help a guy reach his goals. Even I don't want to say against his will, but even when he was consistently in those moments where he didn't feel like pushing himself or he wasn't motivated to do it, I think that for me, it's like all right. You know, you were a first-year guy. You had absolutely no shot, like, in any aspect. Like, you didn't have the discipline. You didn't know how to hit. Like, you didn't know how to work. You didn't know how to recover. You know, building that relationship, educating that player, you know, and helping him and helping push him to that level that he wasn't capable of achieving before, and you helped him get there, to me, that's successful. You know, you have a lot of guys who start off or that arrive to you at different levels of talent. It's my goal to always help you get to where you want to be, even when you don't want to be there. So, like, I don't necessarily look at wins and losses because I think there's a lot of variables to that, especially in professional baseball. But, you know, to me, success is getting the guy up to another level, getting a guy up to another level. Or, you know, helping a guy lose 10 pounds, you know, within 2 months, when that was a goal of his, like, to me, that's success. You know, or helping a guy see the light, so to speak, kind of like or the story I shared with you about Edgardo, like the hand, like, it's like, oh man, like he used to be a guy that hated running, hated lifting. And now it's a part of his routine and he's all about it. To me, that's a sign of success.
We don't necessarily influence wins and losses a ton just because so much can go on in baseball. It's so chaotic, but I think our job is just to prepare them as best we can. And then when they hit the field, whatever happens, happens. So right. I mean, daily success, long-term success is just preparing guys to do what they can do on the field and then letting the rest take care of itself. So, and that's, I mean, any sport really as a strength coach, whether it's baseball or not, I think. You've probably seen that at some of the places that you've been at, with the names you've been around, is just that kind of success, preparing guys to do their best.
Absolutely.
So what advice do you have for others in the field, maybe young coaches that want to get into baseball or even older coaches that have been around who are still hungry for knowledge? What advice do you have?
The advice I would give, and I have to listen to my own advice a lot, it would be just control what you can control and grind like you know how to grind. Because there's a lot of variables that you don't have control over. But if you're just focusing on what your responsibilities are and doing your absolute best at those responsibilities, everything's going to turn out the way it should. So just, you know, do your job, do it exceptionally well, and have fun. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I got into strength conditioning. One of the reasons I got into it was because I didn't want to sit at a desk all day. You know, I wanted to be a part of sports. So don't forget, you know, don't forget that feeling when you were an athlete, and, you know, just be that coach that you would have wanted to have.
That's incredible advice, man. I'm like thinking of old coaches as we speak now that I'm like, damn, I'd like to be like that guy. So where do you go for continuing ed? You reading books, listening to podcasts, you attending seminars in the non-existent off time that you have? Where are you going?
Yeah, hoping as far as seminars are concerned, I'm hoping to attend a few this off season. Priority one is functional range conditioning. Heard a lot of good things. We have one of our affiliate coaches that's all about it, and he's implementing it to a great extent at his affiliate and seeing a lot of success. Another one is reflexive performance reset. Along the same lines, but basically just neural activation, using a couple of tricks that are very handy. And then TPI, I've had TPI on my list for a while. It's very applicable to baseball as far as swing mechanics, mobility, hip, you know, rotation interventions. So those are a couple of the seminars that I'm looking to attend this off season. As far as podcasts, School of Greatness is one that I really like, as well as Finding Mastery by Michael Gervais. He's a mental skill coach for the Seahawks. And then reading, not much time for reading, but I like to dabble in a lot of different things. People that are books that I highly recommend as far as like strength conditioning specific, Cal Dietz is Tri-Basic Training. Huge on that. Anything from Franz Bosch, guy's a freaking genius. Ronald Crump, same thing as far as running mechanics are concerned. Recently read Charlie Francis' High-Low Model. So highly recommend that. Kind of an old school book, but a lot of applicable philosophies, especially in baseball and conditioning. And then just, you know, self-help book. A book I highly recommend is Relentless by Tim Grover. Have you read that?
I have not. It's on my list of books to read.
Yeah, shoot that one to the top. Okay. Shoot that one to the top.
I might order it as soon as we're done then.
That's a book I really recommend to all of my athletes. Kind of takes you into he used to train Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. I mean, it's a different sport, but as far as like developing that killer instinct, and trying to get that elite mindset, I highly recommend it. That's pretty much it. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. What about you?
Well, I'm definitely going to order that one for sure. For sure. One of the ones that always comes up is Extreme Ownership. So I don't know if you've read that one, but I read it this offseason, and it just kept coming up and coming up on the podcast. So I was like, all right, I'll get into it. Read it, and I've been recommending it since. So that'll be my one for you is Extreme Ownership if you haven't read it yet.
Absolutely. I've heard great things.
So I know it's an off day for you, and I'm taking time out of your morning, but what do you think about a lightning round? You got time for me?
Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning, who is it?
Matt Bruce,
okay. Any piece of equipment to train with, what would it be? One piece.
Barbell.
Okay. Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Professionally, being here, personally, somehow managing to get to 2 years with my girlfriend.
You gonna tie the knot soon, or should we not talk about that on here?
We're not talking about that.
Any career other than strength and conditioning?
Maybe the coaching side, like the skill coach But other than that, I'm going to be in sports.
Yeah, no doubt. So this last one, I don't want lightning. You're the first person I've had from the Astros, and you guys won the World Series last year, so I need you to tell me about it. The ring, did you get to go? Like, tell me some details.
Yeah, so last year when we made it to the World Series, they flew a lot of us out for the first home, back-to-back, the game 3 and 4, which was awesome. The atmosphere was unbelievable. I couldn't make it to game 3 because I was going to a wedding, a friend's wedding, but I got to game 4. They flew myself and my girlfriend out there. We had a great time. We lost the game, but it was still awesome just being there. It was my first time in Houston in the stadium. So I'm really appreciative of the opportunity to just go out there and experience that whole thing. And when we won, I was watching the game with a couple of my coworkers, and it didn't like sink in when it happened. It was, oh, we just won the World Series. All right. Good night, guys. Like I'll see you tomorrow. And then the next day it doesn't really sink in. And, it was unbelievable. Especially when we got our rings, I was really appreciative that the Astros would give me one. Like, I just got here, you know. I was maybe working for 5 months at that point. But everyone plays a piece. So it was awesome. It was awesome. Just the idea of, you know, having a collective group of players that buy into what our organization was preaching. Everyone kind of saw us as like the oddball, like, oh, you guys are using all these like new age philosophies and just to see the results of the hard work that a lot of people on staff put in was really rewarding and just couldn't be more grateful.
Well, congrats to you. Like you said, everyone plays a piece. So no matter what level you're at, you have some sort of importance in the run. So congrats on that. That's awesome.
Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your time. It's been awesome. A lot of good stuff. And if the listeners want to get in contact with you, where can we get more from you? Are you on social media? Or is there a better way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I got a Twitter account. I forgot what my handle was, like Coach E Doria, Coach_E Doria. I think that's what it is. I'm on LinkedIn, Esteban Doria. Feel free to send me a message or an email, edoria@astros.com. Always open to collaboration and hearing different ideas and discussing strength conditioning. Love being challenged intellectually. I think that's the best part about our new director, Dan Howells. He's just very, very smart. It's awesome. And it's challenging. And like, I go after every conversation I have with him, I'm like, I need to go open the textbook right now. So anytime a strength coach or anyone in the sports industry wants to chat, I'm all about it.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate your time and enjoy your off day.
All right, Chris, you too.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Esteban. I hope you enjoyed this one. It was really cool to hear his insights on the rehab process. 3 things that I took from Esteban: it's not what you do, but how you do it. Control what you can control, and have fun doing what you do. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.